the theorem of talking Jesus. Last week we heard Peter's great exposition of the gospel after his Pentecostal experience. This week we hear Philip. There's a big difference. Peter was speaking to a crowd of Jews, which is something most of us get a chance to do. With Philip, this is an individual, one-to-one sharing of the faith, which is something we can all do. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up, go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Kandachi, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading the account of Acts there. I don't think I'm on. Am I on?
Can you hear me? There we go. Thank you, Mike, for reading the account of Acts there, which is a good story. In fact, it's two stories about two different men, two different encounters with God. The first man is an influential man. He is an influential man who works in government in a largish economy. He's important. He's in charge of the treasury, a kind of chancellor of the exchequer, if you like, a bit like Philip Hammond, except he's black and he wears better suits. Oh, and he's a eunuch. That's the Ethiopian not Philip Hammond. I imagine that the government, his government role, can be a little bit stressful. And in fact, he works for, she's not a dictator, but she's definitely a monarch. She's the queen. She's the one who is in control of everything. So maybe there are some more commonalities there with Philip Hammond. Anyway, she demands a lot, but he's been given some leave from this stressful job. And rather than going to a beach, he's done what many influential and fairly wealthy people would do. In fact, he's probably quite wealthy. He's gone on a spiritual pilgrimage. He believes in God. He has some Jewish influences from where he lives and in his background. So he decides to visit Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish faith. And I don't know whether he already owned the expensive copy of Isaiah, which we hear that he had in his possession, or whether he bought it as a kind of tourist thing rather than one of those straw donkeys or some other kind of tourist tat you could probably buy at the time. But the trouble is, because he's not a full Jew, he's not allowed because he's a eunuch and he's a foreigner. The religion that he knows treats him as an outsider, an outcast through no fault of his own. But he has his faith in God. And he's been to worship, obviously not in the inner courts because that's too holy for people who aren't full Jews, but he's been to the outer courts in the temple. So here is this man of great influence and wealth on his way back from his pilgrimage. He's in the wilderness between Jerusalem and Gaza in his chariot, business class, obviously. He's reading Isaiah as he travels. The in-flight movie isn't invented yet, and to be honest, the scenery's not great. So he is reading Isaiah, and he's reading it out loud because that's what people did in those days. And he would have been reading it in Greek because that was the language of the day. He doesn't understand it. He knows there's a God. He knows there is something more than the wealth and the influence he has. He feels in the wilderness, perhaps in the way that he lives, maybe a wilderness in his understanding as he travels along this wilderness road. And he knows there is something, but he just can't grasp exactly what it is. That's our first story. The second story is of a man called Philip. He is a Greek speaker. He was chosen to serve on tables by the apostles in Acts 6. If you flick back, you can see that story, along with six other Greek speakers, one of whom was called Stephen. Stephen is dead now. He was stoned to death in Jerusalem by an angry mob of the Jewish authorities because he was a part of the church. And that sparked a persecution, which means many of the church ran, including Philip. Philip has run from Jerusalem, and he's escaped that violent purge by going to Samaria, because right-thinking Jews wouldn't normally go to Samaria because it's full of Samaritans. So it was relatively safe. Whilst he's there, Philip has told people about Jesus, and many Samaritans have come to faith. So many Samaritans have come to faith that the church leaders, Peter and John, no less, have heard about it. They visited, they came to check it out, to check out that these Samaritans actually were full believers. And when they came, they prayed for them after they had been baptized and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Philip is having a really exciting and fruitful ministry, witnessing and evangelizing. And then an angel appears to him and tells him to go to the wilderness road. And when he gets there, he sees this chariot. And the Spirit of God tells him to go over to the chariot, so he goes over to the chariot. And he hears the rider reading in Greek, which is a good job because Philip can speak Greek. It's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? He's reading a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Isaiah was, of course, written by a prophet hundreds of years before this. Philip is really pleased because he knows about this from Isaiah, because he just does. He's been told about it before. The portion he's reading, this person in the chariot, is about a lamb led to the slaughter. One who doesn't open his mouth. One who in humiliation had no justice shown to him. One whose life is taken away for him. So Philip, alongside the chariot, he's jogging along next to it. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replies, how can I, unless someone tells me about it? And he invites him into his chariot. And he asks him a question. And if you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 35, it says, and then. It is only then, when he's asked the question, that we are told Philip begins to speak. Two stories. Two men brought together by God. Quite clearly by God. The Ethiopian searching for God. And God has prepared this moment for him. This lost, wealthy, influential foreign eunuch, this religious outcast is searching for God, and God has found him. And Philip, the Greek-speaking evangelist who knows enough about Isaiah, who's listened to God, been obedient, entered the Ethiopian's world at just the right moment. He hasn't been part of the Ethiopian's journey so far. He didn't even know what he was getting into. He just listened, responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, a spiritual hunch, a strong feeling. He was in the right place at the right time. He was the right person for the job. And that is how God works. Let's just think briefly for a moment about Philip. This week and last week, we've been exploring sharing our faith. And in parallel with this, most of us small groups are using a resource called Talking Jesus to help and encourage us to witness to our faith. And for me, when I think about witnessing faith, one of the things that stops me sharing faith is I worry that I'll get things wrong. Anyone else relate to that? Or I'll be rejected, or I worry that I'll be found out. I don't really understand my faith well enough. I'm worried that I won't be as good as Philip. But to think like that is to forget God's overarching role in these events in Acts and in any event which brings someone to him. It is God that finds the Ethiopian who is searching. It is God who calls Philip to be the one to tell the story of Jesus to the Ethiopian because he is the best person to do the job in that context. A Greek-speaking Jew who knows about the passage of Isaiah 53 that the Ethiopian is reading. The risk that Philip takes is asking whether the Ethiopian understands the passage. He takes that risk. What's the worst that could have happened? The Ethiopian could have told him to go away or ignored him or said, yeah, it's fine, I'm working out myself, thanks. And that's the Ethiopian's lookout, not Philip's. In your context, in my context, God may well call us to speak, give us a hunch to share our story, to ask a question, because God knows that we are the best people to speak our story, our witness, our experience of Jesus, and our understanding of Christian faith to the person that's in front of us. So when we get that hunch or opportunity or opening or feeling or sense that God wants us to speak or even might want us to speak, speak. If God had wanted someone else who we think might have been better at it, he would have prompted them, not us. When an opportunity to speak about faith comes, we are exactly the right people in the right place at the right time. God knows the person who is asking the questions, the person who is seeking, and God knows us. God knows Matt and Caroline and Emma and Jennifer and Pippa. God knows Allison. God knows that Matt. God knows Miles. God knows all of us. God knows that we are the right person in the right place at the right time. So take the risk. Enter the conversation. Ask the questions that seem right to you. Listen, really listen to what the person is saying. And don't worry about the results. God is responsible for that. They may not ask to be baptized in the next pond that you pass. but you might provide the next step, the next jigsaw piece in their journey of faith. The reality is that most of us come to faith in short steps, not in one massive leap. So our witness to others may provide one piece of the jigsaw, which may be the first piece or the last piece, only God knows that. We only need to be obedient, to take the risk and seek to provide that bit of the jigsaw, and God does the work. Take courage to be yourself with your faith and your experience of Jesus and speak about it. But perhaps you identify more readily with our Ethiopian friend in his chariot. Maybe you are searching. Perhaps you even feel that you're not good enough to become a Christian. Or you might be rejected, or maybe there's just something that you don't understand, a kind of wilderness experience you're traveling through. And if that is you, maybe perhaps the piece of the jigsaw of faith has or will arrive this morning. Perhaps it's the first piece of the jigsaw, perhaps it's the last piece of the jigsaw. And maybe as Sophie or Zoe or Evie share something in a moment or two, their story might speak to yours. Perhaps God is calling you and has been doing so for a while. You just need that help, that encouragement to take that step towards accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. That step that leads to the water of baptism and the beginning of the new life, the new journey in life, being a member of a new country, being washed clean. That next step is important, that baptism. For Sophie and Zoe and Evie, that step involves baptism this morning. A public declaration of faith in Christ. And their baptism, just like the Ethiopians, is a symbolic passing into death and then through into new life, a washing clean by the Spirit of God, which somehow is made real either in the sprinkling of water or in the going down and the coming up. Baptism is a gift of God that enables us to meet with our Father and know that we are His children. For our confirmation candidates next Wednesday, that's their step of faith into public ministry. That's the next piece of their jigsaw, if you like. What's the step that God is calling you to take this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this record of that encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian and the encounter with you through both of them. Lord, I pray that if there are people here this morning who are searching, who are feeling in the wilderness, that they will even now feel your touch upon them, that something that's said this morning, something that's shared, will form the next part of the jigsaw for them. Lord, I pray that each person would know deep down for themselves your love for them, your new life offered freely for them. And Lord, for those of us who are followers of you, I pray that you will give us boldness to trust you for those opportunities and to speak when they come, to trust you that we are the right people in the right place at the right time with the right experience to help people take the next step towards you. Lord, embolden us to speak of you. And thank you that you call each one of us, no matter how lost or outcast or close we feel, you call us to know you as your children. Amen. Matt is going to come and lead us as we continue in prayer together.
When I say, Lord, hear us, please respond, Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us. Lord Jesus, we pray for those people impacted by the devastating cyclone in India. We pray for those who have had their homes destroyed and have had lost loved ones. May you provide aid for those in need. And we pray for the relief effort and those involved in providing support. We also pray for the deterioration in hostilities between Israel and Gaza. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. We pray for diplomacy and peace talks, and that you will provide a way forward for peace, however improbable that may seem. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. As we turn our attention to the disquiet in our own country, Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom for politicians of all parties to work together for the greater good and not for their own personal or political gain. We also pray for those newly elected local councillors from the local elections this week. Help them to serve their local communities honestly, diligently, and keeping in mind those people who are on the margins of their communities, the homeless, the poor, and the vulnerable. We pray for cash-stripped councils as they try and fund all the services they provide with increasingly stretched resources. Give them wisdom to know how best to spend and distribute resources fairly. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for our city of Bristol. We thank you for the diversity and the energy this city inhabits. We pray for the churches throughout Bristol, but we specifically pray for the Avonside Mission Area, for all their endeavours to do mission in northwest Bristol. Stir our hearts, Lord, to be passionate to serve this great city that we have the privilege to live in, and help us to be generous with our time and money as we engage in mission in our own lives, in our workplaces, and in our streets. Give us boldness to proclaim your love to our city. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We thank you for this special Sunday, as Sophie, Zoe, and Evie are all baptized. We thank you for each of them and ask that they may deeply know your love for them today and in the future. Help us as a church to support Sophie, Zoe, and Evie, to nurture them as they develop and grow in the Christian faith. We also pray for Jess, Ben, and Flo, as well as for Sophie and Evie, who are stepping out in faith and being confirmed on Wednesday. We pray for each of them as they make a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ and choose to be your disciples. Holy Spirit, fill them and give them strength to share their faith with their friends who don't know you. And may they always place their trust in you and lean not on their own understanding. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We thank you for St. Mary's, for those who worship here, and for all those who enter throughout the week. We are so blessed to have a vibrant staff team and pray that you would bless each of them. We also continue to pray for Matt and Emma during this transitional time for them as a family. We thank you for that the job adverts for the new vicar has been publicized, and we pray for the process of finding a new incumbent. Holy Spirit, may you be guiding who you want to lead this community to apply for the job, and we pray for all those people involved in the selection process. Give them discernment and wisdom to know who to appoint. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, we pray for those members in our congregation who we know are unwell at this time. We thank you that you are a God who heals and can work miraculously. But we also are aware that sometimes we don't always experience that healing as we continue to live in the tension of the now and not yet of your coming kingdom. But we acknowledge those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, and lift before you now Daniel Lewis, Jill Hogan, Barbie Whitby-Smith, Alistair O'Neill, and Mary Salzman. May you bring them peace and comfort this day. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Finally, loving Father, we pray for those people recently bereaved. May you wrap your gentle arms of love around the families of Roy Henderson and Mavis Quick. And we also think of anyone personally to us who is bereaved at this time or remembering an anniversary of someone's death. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Will you join me with the words of the Lord's Prayer as we close? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you to Matt for leading our prayers. Our service is going to continue now as we sing another song. So would the band like to come up? The next song is going to be our offertory song. Don't worry if you haven't come prepared to give. Just pass the bag across in front of you. Many of us will give in lots of different ways to the life of God's church here. We support a number of mission partners in a couple of weeks' time. On the 19th of May, we'll be thinking specifically about our mission partners. We'll have a chance to hear over lunch from Jennifer and from Peter, who recently went out to Uganda. We'll have a chance specifically to give to the work of our mission partners on that particular Sunday. But if you'd like to give to the work of St. Mary's Stoke Bishop, both for those mission partners, but equally for the life and work of our church here in Bristol, then now is the opportunity to do it. Shall we stand together as we sing?
Let's sing together, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
The sun comes up.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul.
I'm not going to the beach, but I am going in the water. Can I invite Evie and Zoe and Sophie to come up here, please, with me? Thank you very much. Hi, Sophie. The water is lovely and warm. Relative to the Arctic. It's good when people are baptized who are older that they get to express, if they want to, a little bit of their faith and of why it is that they've come to baptism this morning. So we've invited the three of them to do that, and it might be they want to say something or not. Can't remember if Zoe is or not. No, she's not. Evie, are you going to read something? Are you going to read what you've written down here?
Yeah.
There you go.
I would like to be christened because all my family have been christened. I want to feel the same, and I would like to be part of a church community. For when I either attend church in Bristol or in Wales, the church has provided direction, comfort and community for my family, and I feel that will be important in my life too.
I was never baptized as a baby because my parents wanted me to have the choice. So I'm making the decision to be baptized because I have seen how God works through everything. Through the church and my experience growing up within this Christian community, I have seen God work through people, transforming their lives and making them better people. I've noticed how my own life changed when I started to think about what all of this meant. So this is my way of showing that I'm choosing to follow God and have faith.
Thank you to all three of you. I think these are available. Are these available at the back? Unless people had them on the way in. So the testimonies from tonight, and also for Jess and Ben, are also on here as well. So do pick one of these up on the way out as an encouragement. If you want to come on Wednesday evening to the confirmation, Simon may have said this while I was out, did he? No. If you want to come on Wednesday evening to confirmation at St. Peter's Henley's at 7:30, then you'll see these two again. And also Ben and Jess Branston, who are being confirmed that night. Jess is here, isn't she? Is Ben here? Well, they were here. Ben, okay. But Jess is here this morning. Ben has another commitment this morning. So, shall we go to where the water is? The reason it's at the back, just so you know, is because at the back, the floor of the church is on the ground outside, whereas up this end, it isn't. And with a lot of weight, we don't want you falling through the floor. So let's go up the other end of the church. The three of us, and parents and godparents can join in. And I'm always really grateful that the floor here is heated when I do this. And I'll hand over to Simon.
Great. So hopefully you can get to a place where you can see.
It would be great to have some candidates. So Evie, do come and stand just by the side of me here. That would be really great. Thank you very much. Sophie and Zoe, come and stand by the side of me here as well. Great, thank you, Sophie. Great, Zoe, come over here. That's lovely, and stand just by the side of Sophie over here. That's brilliant. Now, we're going to look at some screens over here. Daniel is just going to stand to one side so we can see the screen over here. There's also another screen over here, and there's a screen behind us at the front of the church. So at various points, there'll be words for you to say. If you can hopefully see one of these screens around, then that will help us to know what to say. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for having spoken to us. And we're now going to hear a little bit more from you as I ask you some questions. So let's have them on the screen. Alistair, and the first one is a really important thing. We're assuming that because you're stood here this morning, you want to be baptized, but I think it's a good thing to check with you. So do you want to be baptized? Great, thank you. Let me explain a little bit to us what baptism is. Faith is the gift of God to his people. And in what we're about to do now, the Lord is adding to our number those whom he is calling. So, people of God, as we're gathered here this morning, will you welcome these candidates and uphold them in their new life of in Christ? Together we say, with the help of God, we will. And so, some questions for you three here. Do speak really loudly so we can hear your answers. Firstly, some questions about kind of what we're taking off. If you remember from earlier, what we're being cleansed of. In baptism, God calls us out of darkness, to take off darkness, and to put on his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life in him. And so therefore I ask you, these things we're taking off, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Let's have the next screen up. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? And do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? Great. And now three questions that are going to talk to us about what we put on, the new clothes that we put on, and the cleanliness that we have in Jesus. And so do you turn to Jesus Christ as Saviour? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? And do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life? Great. Let me pray for you now, and let me say these words. Christ claims you for his own. And what I'm going to do now is to put the sign of the cross on your foreheads with some oil here. This is oil. Thank you. This is oil which the bishop in Bristol Cathedral a couple of weeks ago said a prayer over specifically for these types of events, specifically to be baptized. And so let me sign you with the sign of the cross. Evie, I sign you with the sign of Jesus' cross. Sophie, I sign you with the sign of Jesus' cross. Zoe, I sign you with the sign of Jesus' cross. Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. Together we all say, fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. And so a prayer for each one of you. May Almighty God deliver you from the power of darkness, restore in you the image of his glory, and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ. Amen. Matt.
I'm not going to use a microphone. Holy Spirit moved at the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel from slavery. In water, you son Jesus baptized John, appointed. Thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. Here we are buried with Christ in death. By it we end his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, now sanctify this water by the power of your Holy Spirit. May be cleansed from sin and born again. Viewed in your image, may they walk by the light of faith. Ever in the risen life of Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit.